As we were in worship today, thank you guys, it was amazing. I just sensed there's somebody in here who needs to hear God loves you unconditionally and completely. Because you put these conditions that I need to have all these boxes ticked before God's going to love me. But that's not true. God loves you completely and unconditionally. And actually, it's from that place this morning that I want us to hear what I'm going to say. So Lord, we want to thank you for the incredible ways that we've already met with you this morning. And I want to pray that as I articulate what you've laid on my heart for this morning, it won't be my words that people hear, it will be your words, Holy Spirit. And I want to pray that we would go from this place knowing that we've heard from you and being willing to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. So today, I've entitled my talk, Living My Best Life. So we are going to be continuing on our series, In the Fear of the Lord. And that phrase, living my best life, it has become a little bit of a slogan around the world, isn't it? You know, people say, oh, I'm living my best life. And for me, when I hear that, it's not necessarily got positive connotations. It's quite selfish. And, not that you would necessarily equate with living in the fear of the Lord. But hopefully today we are going to reclaim that saying. And the question I want us to be pondering as I speak, what I believe God's asked me to say, is how do I live my best life as a Christian? How do I live my best life as a Christian? It's going to be a lot of scripture. I love scripture. So there's going to be a lot of scripture scattered around today because God's word is powerful, absolutely powerful, and it can transform. It does transform our hearts. So Proverbs 14, 26 to 27 says this. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress. For their children, it would be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. As we work through this morning, I'm really going to be looking at the example of Jesus. We're going to be looking at the life of Jesus and how he lived and how that can impact us and the way that we live our lives. Just want to establish first what the fear of the Lord isn't. I know over the weeks we've had a lot of teaching on the fear of the Lord. It's not a natural fear. I don't know whether you have a fear of spiders or snakes or fire or whatever. It's not that kind of fear. It's not demonic fear, where things can get a real grip of our hearts. It's an unreasonable kind of fear. It's not that. It's not a religious fear, and that's really important. Fear of the Lord is not a religious fear, where you have to do something because otherwise the mighty smiter is going to get you. It's not that kind of fear, and it's also not the fear of man. That is not what the fear of the Lord is. What it is, and I know we've heard this, but it's just to centre our hearts, it's holding God in the awe and reverence that he deserves that impacts the way we live our lives. That is simply what it is. It's an attitude of heart, I believe, a mind that always defers to please and honour God. And I'm not there yet in my life, but I want to be there. I want to be there. Ecclesiastes, it's a very interesting book, and I'm not going to preach on it this morning, but the final bit of the book says this, Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14, and this is from the Amplified version. All has been heard, and the end of the matter is, fear God, revere and worship him, knowing that he is. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man, the full original purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun, and the whole duty for every man. That is a rich passage to get our heads round. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. That's at the end of Solomon's musings over life, when he had everything and kind of then lost his way. And then he comes back to this final bit in Ecclesiastes. We could end this morning there, but alas, there is much more to be said. So as I said, I'm going to look at the life of Jesus today and try to square that circle of how I live my best life in the fear of the Lord. How do I live my best life in the fear of the Lord? So we don't live in the superficiality of the moment, but in the fullness and richness of life that God has got for us to live. So first of all, I want to start in a very, very familiar passage in Isaiah 11. And this was a prophecy about Jesus before he was born. And it says this: there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. So Jesus was described as having seven characteristics. God's Spirit rested upon him. And that resulted in him having wisdom and having understanding, having counsel and might, having knowledge, and living in the fear of the Lord. And it says he delighted to live in the fear of the Lord. He delighted to live in the fear of the Lord. It wasn't something he was obliged to do. It wasn't something that he thought, well, during my 3 years on earth, when I'm sort of in ministry, I better just do that because it looks good. He delighted in it. We know that when Jesus lived on earth, he was quick in understanding what God wanted him to do, but he wasn't reluctant to do it. He was quick to understand what God wanted to do, which is part of it, but he wasn't reluctant to do it. Not only was he obedient, but he was willingly obedient. How often have I been challenged by God to do something, and I do it reluctantly, with a bit of a at the end, just to prove my point? But Jesus didn't. He did it willingly. And I think for us, it's hard sometimes to get our heads around this thing of living in the fear of the Lord and having the life that we want to have, because our world continually bombards us with what will make us happy and fulfilled. Driving the right car, having the right job, being the right size and shape, having the right number of followers on Facebook for those who are social media. I know I would be if I was on social media, yeah? Or is it, you know, that can make us feel better about ourselves. Living in the right postcode, having a right-looking family, a healthy family. Sometimes we can put those things in front of doing life God's way. We ask God to bless those things, and it's not that God doesn't want us to have a blessed life, because he's a good father. But we sang this morning, it really struck me as we sang this, his goodness is running after us. So what is our focus on before us? It's on him. When we seek first his kingdom, he promises us that everything else, everything, will be added to us. God shouldn't just be a bolt on to my life and me praying to him when I want things done my way. That's not what living in the fear of the Lord is. We know that Jesus came to give us life in all his fullness. I know this is really familiar stuff, but I believe God wants us to really get this in the core of our being today. We know that Jesus came to give us life in all its fullness. So we can make a decision to step into that. Jesus operated in the way that he operated in life because he absolutely trusted his Heavenly Father. And he knew that he was loved by him. Those two things are so key for us to know that we are absolutely loved by God and we can completely trust him, even when you think, I don't understand this. I don't understand what's going on. I didn't understand on the 4th of April as we stood behind the community hub, seeing the flames, the smoke, the utter devastation. But we made a decision that night. We're going to trust God. I'm not going to say, but God, why have you let this happen? Because that then gets you on a completely wrong track. Jesus' obedience was quick. It says in John 5:19, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. He looked to the modelling of his Father. For whatever the Son does, whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. And then in John 6:18, Jesus says, I have come from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. What a contrast from another celestial being who came to live on planet Earth, or rather was banished to planet Earth, the devil, who was the highest angel in heaven, and he rebelled against God because he wanted to be like God. He didn't humble himself before God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted people to worship him. He didn't want to worship God. Whereas Jesus laid down his rights. He laid down his rights to honour his Father. Jesus was totally dependent on God, completely and utterly dependent on God. It's really interesting, isn't it, that the devil's aim is to convince mankind that we don't need to fear, we don't need God, and we certainly don't need to fear God. Because God's only out to spoil our fun anyway, according to him. Like he said to Eve in the garden. Did God really say that? Oh, it was going to taste so nice. It's going to be the best thing you've ever tasted. It's going to be the best thing you've ever done. The devil is the father of lies. He encourages disobedience and dishonor in our lives. And he's the root of fear and selfishness in our lives. But in complete contrast to that, Jesus came with this incredible mission on earth. To be obedient to his Father, to bring him glory. And from that place, he mounted the greatest rescue mission that there has ever been in establishing eternal life for us. So, what does it look like to live out a life in the fear of the Lord? This isn't a conclusive list, but here's some things for us to ponder. He was obedient to his Heavenly Father, even when it was inconvenient. And I don't think there was any huffs at the end of it either. He trusted his Heavenly Father completely, even to the point of death. He always honoured his Father. He had God's priorities as his priorities. He spent time with him in prayer. He resisted sin. He humbled himself. He forgave. He ministered to the poor and the oppressed. He resisted evil when evil was done against him. He resisted it. And he loved unconditionally. In God's eyes, Jesus lived the best life, lived his best life. What a model for us. What a model for us. We know that Jesus delighted to do his Father's will. It was never about self-promotion, but seeking first God's kingdom. How do I live my life like that? when I get up every morning, okay, God, what is it you want me to be doing today? Yes, we have to go to work. Yes, we have to go to the school gate. Yes, we have to do those things that we have to do in life. But God wants to be involved in all of that. He wants to be part in all of that. So Jesus has given us this perfect example. But when he was about to go up to heaven, he said to his disciples, do you know, it's better for you that I leave. I can't imagine what that must have felt like for the disciples. You must think, hello, how's that going to be better for me that you're going away? But Jesus said, because I'm going to send the helper, the Holy Spirit. Because that's the only way we can live out our lives in the fear of the Lord, is by the Holy Spirit's equipping, enabling and empowering. Because I certainly can't do it. But we know that he will help us. You see, God, and we need to get this, church, God has set us up for success. He's not set us up for failure. He set us up for success. He wants us. He wants us to get this. He wants us to live life well. And the only thing that's going to stop me from living that life is the choices I make. It's the choices I make. That is the only thing that is going to stop me living the life God wants me to make. It's the choices that I make. But Jesus has already done the heavy lifting for us. He's already provided the way. He's already given us an example. As Phil has said frequently this morning, he's cheering us on. We're cheering each other on, and God is cheering us on. Jesus is cheering us on. There's this beautiful partnership that we get to live with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18 says this. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. We get to reflect Jesus in all our shapes and sizes and colours and vitality and personality types. We get to reflect Jesus. But we become what we behold. So what are we beholding? Are we beholding the things of the world, or are we beholding Jesus? Because as we partner with the Holy Spirit, we become more and more like Jesus. And I believe as we do that, we will increasingly delight in the fear of the Lord. It won't be onerous for us. It will be a joy, because it was a joy to Jesus. I want it to be a joy for me. I want it to be that those are those decisions that I make like that, that they are intuitive because the Holy Spirit is prompting me. I don't have to, oh, should I, shouldn't I, will I, won't I, when I know it's what God wants me to do, but I'm just being stubborn or lazy or downright disobedient because I really don't fancy it. When we heard very clearly from God 12.5 years ago, that God wanted us to plant a church, my initial reaction wasn't, oh yes, what a joy, I can't wait. It really wasn't. And it came out of a time of prayer and fasting. As Sarah went off to Bible college, Matthew had already, our elder son, had already moved out, and so we were home alone, as it were. And I said to Andy, oh, we're not doing that empty nest syndrome thing, are we? And he said, no, of course not, dear. And so we spent a few days praying and fasting. And in the middle of that time, the then leader of what was CGC Chelmsford became Skylark, asked to see Andy and said, we have had a real sense of God that we need to be planting a church in Billericay. And Andy went, wow, that's amazing, fantastic, great, yeah. And he went, yeah, we think you and Jane are the people to do it. And he was like, okay. Andy had probably been there years before, but I hadn't. So our week turned into 3 weeks, because this was massive. But at the end of 3 weeks, God had made it so obvious to me that it was what he wanted to do, that I had to gather up every bit of strength that I knew of and say, yes, God, but I can only do it with you. I can't do it on my own. So it's not wrong sometimes when we have those big decisions to make that we need to take stock and we need to take breath and we need to get counsel. Absolutely, yes. But now, it might not take me 3 weeks to get to that conclusion, because I've learned over the years to trust in God. When he asks me to do something, he will never ask us to do something that we're not equipped for. Ever. He will never ask us to do anything that we're not equipped for, because he is setting us up for success. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we'll think we've got it all in the bag, because if we think we've got it all in the bag, we do it in our strength and not his strength. So where am I focusing on in my life that's distracting me from the things that Jesus has? Where am I not beholding him in the way that I should? And here's the biggie. Where is my life out of kilter? Where is my agenda out of line with God? So we're going to have a bit of time just with us and the Holy Spirit. I know we've had amazing ministry from the Holy Spirit this morning in our worship. And Pete's just going to be playing a song in the background. And I just want you, as this song's being played, just to process with the Holy Spirit and ask him if there's any of those that he's highlighting to you. There may not be any, and that's fine. But let's just allow the Holy Spirit to challenge us. Because he wants us to be a people that are equipped for living in these days. I believe God wants us to delight in the fear of the Lord like Jesus did. For it to be a joy to do what God wants us to do. So if we can just have that track playing, Pete, just for a couple of minutes. And then I'll wrap it up.